Our series of seven in this series of lessons, whose theme is priceless, finding our value in God's sight. And as we talked about for the past 4 weeks, people value others on things that really have no eternal value. They value others on their heritage. They value others on how much money they have, their wealth. Some people value others on how they look. Some people value others on the position that they might hold. God doesn't do that. God has a different perspective. God loves us. He loves us in a way that we can only talk about. We cannot fully describe. We cannot fully measure, but he loves us. And because he loves us, we are priceless to him. And these lessons have talked about, or are going to talk about, seven different things that God has done or is doing for us that shows us how valuable we are to him. And again, I just want to review the first four that we've talked about real quickly before we get into the one today, which is equipped with God's gifts. And so first week we were in the book of 1 John, our lesson was adopted into God's family. And the point of the lesson that we are loved by God as a perfect father. We are God's children. God removes our sin. God gives us a new name. Those are the things we talked about in lesson number one. Lesson number two, we were in John chapter 8, freed by God's forgiveness. The point of the lesson, we deserve punishment, but God forgives. We were reminded in that lesson that judgment for sin belongs to God, not us. That none of us is without sin and that God forgives us by his grace. The third week, we're in the Gospel of John chapter 1, saved by God's Son. The point of the lesson was that Jesus came to earth to rescue us from sin. He's the God that, and we were reminded that he's the God that created us and gave us life. He came to earth to make us God's children. He came to earth to bring us God's glory and grace. Last week, we were in Ephesians chapter 3, strengthened by God's power. And the point of the lesson last week is that God doesn't leave us alone, but he empowers us through his Spirit. He gives us the power to be strong in his might. He gives us the power to know Christ's love. He gives us the power to give God the glory. And so this week, our lesson is entitled Equipped with God's Gifts. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 12. We're going to be there next week as well about using those gifts in his service with another passage of scripture next week from 1 Peter. But here's the point of the lesson. God has uniquely gifted us to serve him. Just like when God made us, there's no two of us alike. And I thank God for that often. There's no two of us alike. I'm glad there's not another one just like me. I'm glad there's only one. One is tough enough to keep out of trouble. I'm glad I don't have to worry about somebody else. But in the same way that he made us different from everybody else, he's given us gifts and equipped us with gifts that nobody else has the same complement, the same mix, and can use them the same way that we can. You've heard me say before, when a little child is born, God is not surprised. God knows the birth of every child. He knows the conception of every child. And he has a plan for that child and has had a plan for that child, I believe, since the beginning of time. And there's a purpose for that little one coming into this world. God has a purpose for them. God's the one that's given them life. And God wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then once we're saved, once a person is saved, God has a plan or a purpose that he wants them to accomplish. And that plan, that purpose, includes the gifts that he gives each individual to serve him with. Now, I don't know about you, but I can get excited when I stop and think about that. That God had a plan for me before the foundation of the world. He saw that I was born into the home, to the parents that he wanted me to be born to. He has overseen my life. He has equipped me with gifts so that I can serve him. And again, as Adam said in a few minutes ago, what a shame it would be for any person to waste any of that. What a shame it is for people to waste the salvation that God has purchased for every person. What a shame it would be for Christians to waste the unique individual that they are, equipped with the unique gifts that God has given them. What a shame it would be for any Christian to waste that and not use it to serve God. And so, again, three parts of the lesson this morning. We're going to talk about the gifts that God's given us, the fact that they may be different, but they all come from the same source. We're going to talk about the fact that they're functional in purpose. There's a need that needs to be met. That's the reason God gave us those gifts. And he gives them to us as he wills. And so, again, I'll make the points at the end of the lesson. There's no reason for anybody to be jealous of other people's gifts. There's no reason for people to feel less of a Christian because their gifts may not measure up to anybody else's gifts. There's no reason to take pride in the gifts that we have, because they were given to us in the sovereignty of God. He made the choice. He made the decision. He gives us those gifts. You have the ones. I have the ones that he wants us to have. Now, the challenge to us is to use them to accomplish the purpose that he wants us to accomplish. All right. Author made the point in the lesson that people gravitate toward others that are talented or highly skilled. The more skilled they are, the more people, or the more popular they are. All you have to do is think about sports heroes. All you have to do is think about, you know, that guy that plays basketball for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I won't mention any names because I don't want to add to his glory this morning, but you know who I'm talking about. All you got to think about is the guy that plays first base for the Detroit Tigers. I mean, and you could list your own list of popular sports figures that people think a lot of, even though they don't know anything about their personal lives. They think a lot of because of the talents that they exhibit on a playing field. Those people don't necessarily, because they're talented, make the world a better place. But God's purpose in gifting his children is to make the world a better place, is to use them through his church to build up the church, to reach others for Christ, and in that way make the world a better place. So that's why he's equipped us. So again, we're in the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote it to the church at Corinth. It was a church that was divided up into factions. It was a church that had divisions in it. One of the issues that divided them was their spiritual gifts. There were some people that thought, that took pride in the gifts that they had. They thought they were elite Christians. They looked down on others that might not have had the same gifts that they had. And Paul, one of the things that he was trying to do in this letter to the church at Corinth was to remind them that all believers serve the same Lord. All spiritual gifts are given by God, and they are given to accomplish his purpose. They are not given so that anybody can take pride in. He opens the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with the phrase, now concerning spiritual gifts. And there's other phrases like that in the book of 1 Corinthians that deal with other topics. It's like the Corinthian church had sent Paul a list of questions, and he was writing this letter to address those questions. Now, we also know that he wrote a letter to address sin that was in the church. So turn, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have your books, the scripture is there. But we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6 this morning for our first scripture reading. Here's what the Bible says. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So again, the Corinthian church was struggling with factions. They developed around certain personalities. Some of them were rallying around Paul. Some of them were rallying around Apollos. And Paul made the point early in the book of 1 Corinthians that, hey, we're nothing. We are what we are because Christ made us what we are and gave us the opportunity to do what we do. And so he in 12, 13, and 14, chapters 12, 13, and 14, Paul deals with the issue of gifts, which was dividing the church. And in these first three verses, verses 4, 5, and 6, he talks about the varieties or the differences in spiritual gifts. Notice the phrases. In verse 4, there are diversities. In verse 5, there are differences. In verse 6, there are diversities. All three of those words, diversities and differences, come from the Greek, same Greek word. So, I mean, the King James translators could have used the same English word in all three verses because it came from the same Greek word. But he says there are differences. He says there are diversities in gifts. Now, that word gifts in English, again, you go back to the Greek, it comes from the same Greek word that we get the word grace for. A gift is a favor one receives without any merit of his own. A gift is somebody that gives you, is something that is given to you by somebody else without you deserving it at all. Same, you know, the essence of grace. Grace is undeserved favor from God. And so Paul is talking about these gifts that are given to us out of the grace of God. We don't deserve it. There's no way we can earn it. There's no way we can pay it back. They come to us, these different gifts come to us because of God's favor, because of God's sovereignty, because of God's decision to give them to us. In fact, if you go back to verse 1, where it talks about now concerning spiritual gifts, it's a different word there for gifts. It's a word that means that which belongs to the Spirit. That which belongs to the Spirit. So literally, verse 1 says, now concerning that which belongs or comes from the Spirit. So there's a differences in gifts, a diversities in gifts. There's a differences in administrations. That's a Greek word that means services or ministries. We get our word deacon from the same word that the word administrations comes from. We get our word ministries from that same Greek word. And so there are differences in administrations. There are differences in services that God wants rendered by his children to other people. Okay? Then operations. He said there's a diversities in verse 6. There's a diversities in operations. That's a Greek word that means effects, or results, okay? So it focuses more on the results of the service than it does the gifts that are used to give that service or the services themselves. It focuses on the results of those services, what God wants accomplished. Now, Paul's point is that the gifts, again, the things that were given that belong to the Holy Spirit that are given to us so that we can serve God, the gifts, the ministries or the services, the administrations, and the operations, the results of those services, they all come from the same source. They come from the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. That's the words that are used in verses 4, 5, and 6. The gifts are associated with the Spirit, the administrations with the Lord, the operations with God. And so again, in those three verses, we see the Trinity displayed for us. The gifts come from the Spirit. Services come from the Lord or the Son. The results come from God or the Father. And again, they're one, and they work together. They don't exclude one another. They include one another. So again, we're given gifts. We're given abilities. And Paul's going to, in the next passage that we're going to look at, he mentions nine of them. Different things, or different talents, different abilities, however you want to say, that come from the Spirit that are given to God's children to be used in the administrations or the services for him, the things, the ministries that he wants us to take part in, okay, to accomplish the operations, to accomplish the results. So again, see how it all fits together. He equips us with the gifts so that we can minister or serve, so that he can accomplish what he desires to accomplish. He can accomplish what he has purposed to accomplish. And then in the last part of verse 6, it says, which worketh all in all. Now, that word worketh comes from the Greek word that we get our word energy from. And it suggests that we get the energy to use those gifts, to perform the services, to accomplish the results. And again, we don't accomplish the results. The results don't belong to us. The results belong to God. The gifts belong to God. He gives us the gift to perform the services. That's all he expects us to do. He'll take care of the results. Each worketh in all in all. All the gifts in everyone, all the gifts in each person work together to accomplish the results that God wants accomplished. So, Adam described the church as a chocolate chip cookie, okay? God brings it together to produce the results. Well, Paul talks about the church as a body with different parts. Different parts of the body have different functions, but the body cannot function in total unless every part is doing playing its role, unless every part is doing what it was designed to accomplish. You know how you feel when certain parts of your body don't work, right? Some of you are like me. You're getting older, and you're finding as you're getting older, there are certain parts of your body that don't work as well as they used to. Some of you are a lot younger than I, and you find out that sometimes when you get sick or sometimes when you have an injury, certain parts of your body don't work the way they're supposed to work. And it's amazing to me how sometimes the smallest part of your body can make such a big effect. I mean, I've stubbed my little toe. Now, you wouldn't think your little toe has much of a role to play in your body. I mean, most of us probably think, well, I could do without my little toes and still get around. But I've been surprised by how much a pain in your little toe can affect the rest of your body, can affect how much the operation, the functional or the effective function of your body, how one little part. And then Paul talks about the hidden parts, the things that we can't even see. Let some of those get messed up, and even though you can't see them, you know that they're not working correctly. And so Paul's making the point. He says, hey, there's differences in gifts that result in different ministries, different services, but they all work together to accomplish God's plan, to accomplish God's results. And God's the one that's responsible for the results, not us. We don't have to worry about the results. We just have to worry about using the gifts and providing the services, or using the gifts to give the services that God's given us. The results are up to him, and he'll take care of them. So God endows all believers with different gifts. He expects us to use them in various ministries to produce the results that fulfill his purpose. So his gifts are spiritual, they're functional, they're practical or pragmatic, because there's a need that God needs filled. And so he equips a believer with some gifts and puts them into ministry to meet those needs. Okay, let's look at the next four verses 7 through 10 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Okay, again, spiritual gifts are God gives to everybody. He just doesn't pick out a few Christians and say, hey, I'm going to give some gifts to them, and I'm going to give some gifts to them, but here's some Christians over here I'm not going to give anything to. Nobody can say, no Christian can say, I don't have any spiritual gifts. You can't say that. No Christian can say, there's nothing that I can do in the church to provide a ministry. No Christian can say that because of verse 7. Notice what it says. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, the manifestation, again, is a Greek word that means you're making something known. Something is made visible that was unseen before. That's the verb meaning of that word manifestation. The noun means it's a disclosure. It's an active exhibition. It's a clear outward display. So the manifestation of the Spirit, that what is made known by the Spirit, the gifts, the ministries, the activities are revealed by the Spirit of God. That word man means each and every. And so when it says is given to every man, it's a double emphasis. It's given to every individual. It's given to each individual. Profit with all is in the Greek is one word, but it means to bring together, to be profitable for. And so you could say verse 7 like this. I'm going to give you a couple different ways to say it. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. Or to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Or a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. So, again, the Spirit gives gifts, makes them known. He does that to every person. Now, by the way, I've talked to people that said, hey, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. And I always ask them, I said, well, have you asked God what your spiritual gift is? Have you asked God to show you what your spiritual gift is? And they said, yes, I have. And then I ask them, well, what are you good at? What things do you enjoy doing? What things are you good at? That's a good sign that is probably your spiritual gift that can be used in the service for God. God wants us to know what our spiritual gifts are. He'll tell us what they are if we ask him. He'll tell us, he'll show us what they are if we look, because he wants us to use them. Now, I've also had people tell me, they say, hey, I'm not going to do anything for God until I figure out what my spiritual gift is. I said, I don't think that's the right attitude either. You ought to get busy serving God, whether you know what your spiritual gift is or not. Just pick a place to serve him. Find a ministry in the church and get busy. If it's an area that doesn't fit with your spiritual gift, you'll be unhappy and you won't be very productive. But if you get into something and you're happy and you're productive, you're having results in it, then it's probably a good sign that your spiritual gift can be used in that area. And so he wants every one of us to know what our spiritual gift is. So every member of the church, spiritually endowed in some way, because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And it's a way that the Holy Spirit shows as he reveals your gifts to you that he's working in your life. Now, not everybody has the same spiritual gifts. Not everybody has the same. And again, I'm glad we're all not the same. We wouldn't be very good, or we wouldn't be very effective as a church if we all had the same spiritual gifts, because we'd probably be missing some. So Paul says in the next few verses, for to one is given one gift, and to another is given another gift, and yet to another is given another gift. He mentions 9 of them in verses 8, 9, and 10. Now, I would tell you, this is not an all-inclusive list. There are others. In fact, Paul has 3 or 4 other lists of spiritual gifts. He has another list later on in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. He has a list in Romans chapter 12. He has a list in Ephesians chapter 4. They're not all the same. You say, well, how come Paul didn't make them all the same? Well, he wasn't trying to accomplish the same purpose in those same passages of Scripture. And so he included in the list what would the gifts that would accomplish the purpose that he's trying to accomplish. In this particular case, he's trying to remind the Corinthians, hey, all spiritual gifts are given by God. They're different, but they're given to accomplish his purpose. Let's quickly, we don't have much time left, but let's quickly look at the nine he mentions. Number one, the word of wisdom, message of wisdom, utterance of wisdom. The ability to give counsel, the ability to advise people with wisdom in particular situations. Counsel that comes from the Spirit. Counsel or wisdom that comes from the Spirit. Some people have that ability to, regardless of what situations that people present them with, whatever questions they ask that come out of the situation, there are some people that have the gift that they can give good counsel. They have words of wisdom that can be used to help. The word of knowledge. Again, message of knowledge or utterance of knowledge. Knowledge of God, knowledge of the things of God. The gift to teach, the ability to share the things of God, the ability to teach the things of God. Number three, faith. Now again, since not everybody has all these gifts, Paul's not talking about saving faith here. The Bible tells us he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He deals to every man a measure of saving faith. Listen, I believe this with all my heart. Every single person has enough faith to get saved. If God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, he has dealt to every single person enough faith for them to receive Christ if they'll exercise that faith. That's not the kind of faith that Paul's talking about here. He's talking about a special endowment of faith. The ability to trust God to accomplish something regardless of how hard the situation is. Some people have that gift. They just have an extra measure of faith that when others, even other Christians, say, well, I don't think God can do this, they can stand and say, oh, yes, he can. He can. He can. Four, the gifts of healing. Notice it's plural. The gifts of healing. A gift that may take different forms, that may show up at different times. Supernatural healing. The apostles did that. Others in the New Testament church did it. It didn't show up all the time, but it showed up some of the time when God had a particular purpose to serve. The working of miracles. Again, just accomplishing something that man usually cannot accomplish, only accomplish it with the power of God that flows through them. Again, like healing. There were miracles that were performed by the apostles in the church at Jerusalem. But they didn't happen all the time. They were not the norm. But they happened again when God had a particular purpose to accomplish. Number six, the gift of prophecy, preaching or declaring God's message of faith, forth telling. It also could be the announcement of some future event, foretelling. Some people have that gift of prophecy. Number seven, discerning of spirits. Being able to distinguish between the spirits that are working in a church. Back in Paul's day, back in the day of the church at Corinth, there were false teachers. There were evil spirits that came into the church that threatened the fellowship, that threatened the believers. God gave some Christians in the church the special ability to discern between the spirits. I believe that God gives people to do that today. I believe the same evil spirits are at work in the church today, and that God gives people the ability to discern between the good and the evil. Now, the eighth one and the ninth one go together. Divers kinds of tongues, different kinds of languages, unknown languages. Probably one of the most controversial in this list It created a lot of divisions back in Paul's day. It creates a lot of divisions today. There are people that believe that one of the gifts that God gives is the ability to speak in not only unknown tongues, but in other languages, like they saw on the day of Pentecost. That's a gift. Verse 9, interpretation of tongues. Interpretation of those languages, or interpretation of those unknown languages. Paul was convinced that if somebody spoke in tongues in a worship service, that should only be done if there was somebody there to interpret it so that everybody could get the benefit. Paul did not think speaking in tongues in a service without somebody there to interpret it added anything to the service, because nobody could understand it. Nobody could understand it. So he said there needs to be somebody there to interpret it. So again, all nine of these gifts of the Spirit to be received and treated as a gift from God, to be thankful for that God has given them to us. And again, they're all functional in nature. They all have a task or a function that they're supposed to accomplish. All right, let's quickly look at the last verse, verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the same self Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The giving of gifts is a supernatural process. The results that come from exercising those gifts is also a supernatural working. So all these, in verse 11, all these are the gifts that Paul just listed. Okay? Again, the nine that he listed, it's not an exclusive list. There's others mentioned in others' list. In fact, no two of Paul's lists are the same. So all these, the gifts that he's listed, worketh. Again, that same word that we get our word energy for. They operate, they work, because the energy or the power comes from God. That comes from the Spirit. Dividing, that means to distribute to every man, each one, each person. So dividing to each person severally means individually, okay? So dividing to each one individually as he, the Spirit of the God, Spirit of God, as he, the Spirit of God, wills. According to the Spirit's purpose. According to the Spirit's desire. So, he distributes, Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts to every person, to every Christian. They are distributed according to God's sovereignty. They're distributed according to God's will. God knows best. God does right. He always does right. And so the gifts that we have, the gifts that I as an individual have, the gifts that you as an individual have, and please, nobody say, well, I don't have any gifts, preacher. Yes, you do. Maybe you haven't discovered them yet, but you have gifts. The Holy Spirit has given you gifts. And so the gifts that we have, we're not to take pride in, because there's nothing we did to get them. They were given to us as a gift. We're not to be jealous of other people's gifts, because God gave them their gifts just like he gave them, gave us ours. And we're not to complain about the fact that we don't have the same gifts as somebody else. If we complain or if we're jealous of somebody else, what we're saying is God doesn't know what he's doing. If God would have known what he's doing, he would have given me more gifts, or he would have given me different kind of gifts. God always knows what he's doing. We just need to establish that fact in our mind. And when he distributes gifts, he knows what he's doing. He has a purpose in mind. Look, God's a good investor. He's not going to give a gift to somebody that won't use it. He won't give a gift to somebody that's not suited to use it. And so the gifts that he gives us, he knows that we're suited to use. Now, again, the challenge to us is, are we going to use those gifts? Are we going to use the things that God has given us in service to him to accomplish the results or to accomplish the purpose that he wants to accomplish? I was thinking about it like this. You know, we have some guys in our church that take a lot of pride in the tools that they have. I mean, some of them have toolboxes. They have multiple toolboxes. I mean, there's one guy in our church that probably has 20 toolboxes. I've seen him. He's got them all loaded in the back of his truck. I mean, if you need any kind of tool, all you got to do is call this guy. And if he brings his pickup truck, I guarantee you that tool will be in that truck. Now, as a result, this is a pretty productive, effective workman. He can accomplish just about anything that he wants to accomplish because he has the right tool. I know every person here has probably experienced using something for what it was not designed for. You had a nail to drive. Your hammer was out in the garage. You didn't want to go to the garage to get your hammer, so you took off your shoe and you tried to pound your nail in with the shoe. Maybe you got it pounded in, but it surely wasn't as effective as it would have been if you would have got your hammer. So I was thinking about it like this. God has a toolbox. We're in it. Each of us as a tool has been given certain things that we can do. We can't do it because of who we are. We can do it because of how God has equipped us. Okay? God wants to use those tools to accomplish the task, to get the job done. And again, he's not lacking for tools. The tools are in the toolbox. Every one of them is there to accomplish. And again, there may be two or three tools that work together, like in some of the jobs that we do. We may have to use two or three tools to accomplish the job that we need to get done. But God, in God's toolbox, every tool is there to get the job done. Now, what would you think and how would you feel if you had a toolbox and you went to the toolbox to get a tool out to perform a certain job, and the tool raised up its head and said, "I'm sorry, I'm not working today." Or, "I'm sorry, this is my day off." Or, "I'm sorry, I just don't feel like doing what I was designed to do today." How would we feel? Oh, I know how I'd feel. I'd take that tool and throw it away. I'd just give it a heave. I would not want a tool that would not function for the purpose it was functioned. Now, I'm not saying that God throws us away. He's more patient than I am. He's more kind than I am. But how do you think God feels? Say, "Hey, I made you, I bought you, I endowed you with those gifts so that you can accomplish what I want you to, you can give the service that I want you to provide so that I can accomplish the results that I want to accomplish." How do you think God feels when we raise up our hand and say, "Well, today's my day off," or "I don't feel like doing what you designed me to do today"? God probably feels the same way we would feel. Disgusted. Say, "Come on. This is not the way it's supposed to work. When I go out and pay money for a tool, I expect it to work. I expect it to do what it was designed to do." So does God. So he's given to every person a set of gifts. If you're a Christian, don't say you don't have any gifts. You have gifts. You may not know what they are, but you have gifts given to you by God. They were given to you so that you could provide a service for God, a ministry for God. And those ministries put together accomplish what God wants to accomplish. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get in the way of God accomplishing what he wants to accomplish. I don't want to be the pothole. I don't want to be the detour. I don't want to be the obstacle in God's way to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Because God's going to accomplish what he's going to accomplish. I mean, if we stand in the way, he'll find somebody else to do what he made us to do. And we'll miss the blessing from being used by God to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. So, let's find out what our gifts are. Again, he'll tell us if we ask him. He'll tell us if we go looking for him. Don't wait to start serving God till you figure out what your gifts are. Just volunteer for something. Get busy. If it's not an area that's consistent with your gifts, you'll find out real in a hurry. And then you try something else. But use your gifts. God has a purpose that he wants to accomplish. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for today, for each one that's here. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that it teaches us. I pray that we just not be hearers of the word, but we be doers of the word, that we'd use the gifts that you have given us in the services that you've ascribed to us to accomplish the results that you want to accomplish. Go with us now in the service that follows. Help us to uplift our Savior. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.